I still have my original Scruggs book from when I was a kid, my tear-stained copy of the Scruggs book. Tear-soaked. So one time I was playing at that Rocky Grass Festival. Y'all ever heard of that place, Rocky Grass? I failed to compute that Earl Scruggs was playing after us. So I'm in the middle of one of his vocabulary licks, and I don't realize, I forgot that he would like be staging behind us. I spazzed on that. So I'm in the middle of one of his vocabulary licks, and I'm just standing there playing. There's a few thousand people, and I casually look over, and he's like looking right at me. And I'm in the middle of one of his licks, which I can imagine would be like if you're staying over at somebody's house and they came home and you were wearing their pajamas or something. He was looking right at me, so I immediately blew it. Like I lost my place in the song and totally blew it right then as I realized he was looking at me because I was playing right in the middle of one of his licks. It was awful. I totally fell off the bike right there. I never got to hang out with him really, just a couple times. I got to meet him very, very briefly. He was such a big hero of mine because he just sort of came up with this whole crazy thing on an instrument. It's only happened a few times where someone just sort of like reinvented something like that. It's not that many times it's happened, and he sure figured out how to do it. In the Scruggs book, there's all this interesting lore about the banjo. Like him and his brother, to develop good timing, they used to sit together outside the house, and they would start playing a song, and they would walk around the house together and see if they were still playing together when they got around to the other side of the house, check their timing. So he talks about stuff like that in there, which I find fascinating how they came up with that. Like he talked about how when he heard certain things and he developed it from hearing other people around him that played. There was a guy named Smith Hammett that played three-finger banjo, and Snuffy Jenkins that played with Pappy Sherrill and stuff, did some three-finger stuff. And if you hear their music, you can hear there's like antecedents of that kind of picking. So it's interesting to check that out. But he was sure an amazing guy. Yeah, these little bitty stubby fingers. Have y'all seen those TV shows from the 50s? He's on, for years, I just had to figure this out from records, but like there's this trick where like I never knew he was doing this, but if you watch the videos really close, he plays, he'll note with his nail to get these really long slides that he goes. Like that, and he's fretting with his nails, and I played that repertoire for maybe 45-something years. I finally saw a video of it, and I realized what he was doing with his nails. And like some of the fingerings, like I had them wrong and stuff like that. So it was really great to watch those. Because when I was a kid, you had to figure it all out. Like put it on a tape deck and then slow it down to half speed and put it on another tape deck and then learn it at half speed. Matter of fact, one time I learned this, I was trying to learn this Doc Watson guitar record, you know, learn some of his solos. And I made this tape of all these Doc Watson solos on a reel-to-reel tape, 7-inch reel machine. You guys are too young to remember those things. Anyway, 7-inch reels, I love those machines. You could put something on there at 7.5 and then slow it down to half speed, and it would play the track, drop an octave lower at half speed so you could figure out what the notes were and everything. And so one summer I listened to Doc Watson so long at half speed that it started to sound right to me. It took about 3 months. It totally sounded right to me to hear it at half speed and down an octave.